Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Galit Saporta, who is a fraud analyst at Forter. Galit, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
So I'm very excited to chat with you because Forter's done a lot of interesting work in creating the personas of the cyber criminals that we know wreak a lot of havoc on the payment system, but they're really kind of faceless and nameless, and we kind of clump them into one big group of bad guys. What you've done is actually identify the characteristics and personas of this group of cyber criminals, and we're about to dive into each of them over the course of our podcast series. So, Galit, let's get started with a category of fraudster that I guess I was kind of surprised to understand was really a problem, and that's the teen fraudster. I mean, what are teenagers doing hacking into merchant point of sale systems and merchant sites? Why are they doing it?
It's a great question and somewhat saddening truth. I think you nailed it when you said it's not a faceless group of bad guys, but there are different motivations and different personas behind the chargebacks and the fraud attempts that we see online. With teenagers, we don't believe that these guys are thinking of themselves as fraudsters to begin with. They're just, well, you've seen a teenager with a smartphone, and you know that they really have the world at their fingertips. They are pretty much messing around, being a bit rebellious and a bit adventurous, and since getting free pizza is fun, then it's not that hard to see how it becomes something, a cool pastime for some of the not necessarily hardcore gangster-style teenagers, but rather some of the geekier guys that are just moving naturally from reading online on how to find free cheats on their favorite online games to how to buy with stolen credit cards the same cheats for the online games, and then moving on to even buying some stolen goods.
So this is more of a thrill-seeking teenager that has sophisticated computer skills, just not necessarily doing this in a nefarious way, but just doing it to see whether they can do it.
Absolutely. I would be careful, though, about calling some of those guys saying that they have sophisticated computer skills. Often we see in these fraud attempts of the teenage fraudsters people who are using stolen cards that maybe they picked up from a friend at school, maybe from their mom's or dad's purse. Well, mom's purse, dad's, whatever it is. And sometimes you even see people who, well, teenagers who aren't that tech savvy, but more they are strong on social media skills.
So these, are these teen fraudsters, I mean, obviously all fraudsters are things that merchants need to worry about, but are they a dangerous kind of cyber criminal? Are they more of a nuisance? How do you, if you rated them on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of threat to the business, where would you rank them?
We do see them as somewhere lower in the hierarchy of fraudsters. They become a problem either when they mature a little bit and decide to go into fraud more seriously. We can talk about them and about that in the when we discuss the next type of fraudster persona. But also the reason that they could be risky is that it's very hard to detect and differentiate between the legitimate customer who happens to be a teen and using his parents' funding source with their consent, and the one who is using stolen credit cards, because they don't really bother to cover up their tracks. They don't usually figure out that they are that they are committing a crime. And when they do, they use very creative techniques to try to hide that are often even funny. Things like using William Shakespeare as the name on card. Well, not William Shakespeare. What's cool these days? I don't know. Is Justin Timberlake still cool? I'm not sure. but you see these names popping up, and then you can figure out that someone isn't trying to deliberately commit fraud. They're really doing it sometimes as a gag, and the absurd is that most automated systems and manual review teams just don't know what to do with that type of behavior.
So it's interesting. I mean, on the one hand, you say that they're a little harder to detect because they may be using accounts that they shouldn't be from their family members. On the other hand, you say that if they're, you know, spoofing with names like Justin Timberlake and, you know, William Shakespeare and Kanye West, you if we tell that that's a problem. So how do you try to detect and then shut this kind of fraud down?
That's a good question, and I need to be very careful when answering, because I'm not allowed to discuss in great detail the technique we use at Forder. I will say that on the research aspect, the first thing we do when we try to teach our analysts to, well, walk him out in the fraudster's shoes and to really depict themselves as that teenager who is going to be trying to do all sorts of strange-looking steps, then that's our first step into differentiating between the legit behavior and the fraudulent one.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Is this a recent phenomenon? Has teenage fraud and the teenage fraudster always been a thing, or is this something that's just recently arisen?
In my personal experience, in my 11 years of doing fraud analysis, I have seen teenagers consistently in the system buying all sorts of goods. I think that over the past maybe 5 years or so, teenagers have moved from really just using family members as that source of stolen mm-hmm. credit cards to going online and finding more stolen credentials on the web. There have been many data breaches and over the past few years, and I think that currently finding stolen credit cards which are still active is much, much easier. We often see that professional fraudsters are deliberately posting for other less sophisticated fraudsters and saying, here's this credit card, I'm done with it, I already bought all the diamonds I needed, now you need to burn it. And there you see loads of, well, teenagers and other types of fraudsters who will use that credit card to buy pizza as much as they want.
Wow. So is it your experience that that teen fraudsters grow up to be more sophisticated fraudsters? Do you have any sense of that? Is this an on ramp to something that is a life of cybercrime, or is this a passing fancy that bored teenagers with moderate computer skill sets are interested in just playing around with for a bit?
I'd like to hope that most teenagers just grow out of it. Maybe that's the mom in me talking. But we do see quite a few of the fraud attempts that used to be, especially domestically, fraud attempts that used to be very naive and very characteristic of teenager behavior, we see that often evolving into the next level.
Wow, that's unfortunate, but it really does show the impact of a more organized cyber ecosystem, because to your point, there are places now that teenage fraudsters and fraudsters of any ilk can go and find stolen card numbers and all the things they need to commit fraud. So that's an unfortunate consequence of having such a well-oiled cyber criminal machine.
Absolutely. Ecosystem is exactly the correct term, I think. The good news about it is that it means that many of the fraudsters are going to be demonstrating fairly similar behaviors and tactics, because once someone finds a loophole in your system as a merchant, then they're going to tell the buddies, and all the gang is going to come up at once. It can cause a lot of damage if someone isn't being careful enough, but it does mean that there is a pattern of bad behavior and good behavior that theoretically can be differentiated and tackled.
Wow. Well, Galit, this was a fascinating conversation about the teen fraudster and the implications to merchants of this particular personality profile that may not start out as wanting to really defraud merchants, more of a prank or a game, but certainly does do their fair share of harm. Thanks, Galit. It was a great conversation. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.